Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Today on the Zabecast, it's Andy Poland, the guy I once derisively called Good Enough Andy. A man who knows more Redskins history than anybody. Somebody who loved Chinese food, Tiger Woods, and 60 Minutes on Sundays. And a guy who taught me the word mushugana. Your bonus, uncensored 35-minute edition of the Zabecast is locked and loaded. So buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
To man, Elliott puts the toe on it, and the kick is good!
Are you not entertained? Yes, we are. Jake Elliott from nearly 60 in the swampiest, messiest conditions you can imagine to send it to overtime, and then Jalen Hurts into the end zone after the Bills had scored to win the game in a walk-off rushing touchdown, his second of the game. Damn it, Andy Poland, every time I want to quit this league, it just drags me back in. And this game wanted to really made me want to quit the NFL. It was the most poorly officiated, borderline rigged game I've ever seen in my life. Sean Hockley should be shot into the sun. Good evening, sir. How are you today?
I'm fine. I can't quite gin up that kind of hatred for Hockley, but okay.
You can't gin up hatred for anything. That's what drives me nuts. I'm waiting for one thing that'll get... Okay, one thing. Carissa Thompson got you angry. By the way, how's that going? How's the Fire Carissa campaign going? That thing's washed down the river. Nobody cares anymore.
Did you see what she did in the pregame on Fox?
When? Which pregame?
this one today. She's interviewing Sean Payton,
and
she gives him a hug, and she says, "I love you." And then they do their interview, the kissy-kissy, you know, "Oh, you were terrible at the beginning, and now everything's great." I wanted him to say, "Carissa, you did some of our games when I was coaching the Saints. Did you ever make up anything that I said before I came out of the locker room?
Yeah. And the presence of Michael Vick on TV does not inflame your senses.
Well, that and
a guy who willingly electrocuted dogs for sport and entertainment.
To his credit, he went to jail for that, and he paid back most of his debts
to society, to the law. Not to be put on TV again. He's free to go live his life as a carpenter or whatever the fuck he can do. There's no reason he should be on TV. This bothers me. Same thing for Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is a scumbag.
That's another one. And every time a job opens up, he's right there sitting on the set, ready to be plucked out. And Michigan, he beat them seven straight times. And so Ryan Day, there's your replacement sitting on the set right there.
Well, we'll get to that in just a second. Anyway, it was a crackerjack hell of a game, very competitive, lots of ups and downs, bullshit officiating. I don't know what Sean Hockley's crew's deal is. They should be suspended. The fact that they called an intentional grounding on a blatant horse collar 2 feet in front of him, and no one else on the crew said, "Hey, Sean, bro, horse collar, stop this nonsense." What offended me the most about that call was that somehow Hockley discerned he could tell if either Josh Allen, who was getting violently slung to the ground on a double horse collar with a hip drop tackle, which will soon be outlawed as well because it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. How could he tell if that was a pass? The ball just poop. It fell out of his hand forward by 2 feet. What the fuck?
No, I agree. Look, terrible officiating. But that's part of what our Sundays are all about. We sit around and we complain about the officiating.
But this was especially bad. Darius Slay, multiple times, with clear pass interference. No call. And then you get flopping on top of it. The Bills did get a call on a flop by Josh Allen. I hate flopping as much as I hate the feeling like the NBA or that the NFL could be like the NBA now, that it could be with a giant thumb on the scale. I mean, the Eagles are goddamn good. They're really good. They're insanely deep. Howie Roseman has built a monster with that team. Hurts is amazing. I admire Hurts. It just makes me puke in my mouth a bit because he is an Eagle. But that said, they don't need a thumb on the scale. But it feels like the NFL is putting their thumb on the scale to get it back to Chiefs-Eagles for a rematch. And that feels very NBA-like. Damn it.
Okay, but I think Buffalo is an appealing team, too. I mean, Josh Allen is a hell of a player.
You know, Buffalo's not even in the playoffs right now.
I know.
Playoffs!
One thing about Josh Allen, he'll keep you in a game, and he'll take you out of a game.
I know.
The interception is always looming. It's always there. And a big, costly interception again in this game.
Woosah. Okay. All right. A hell of a product.
Does anybody get this excited about baseball? No, they don't.
No, not a chance. I'm shocked baseball still exists. But it has its own delicacy, it doesn't barely. I mean, it works for what it is, and that is as a pastime.
Oh, yeah.
Football is America's passion, not a pastime.
But the baseball used to be the number one sport. It was probably 10 Super Bowls before football surpassed baseball. Amazing.
Yeah, it was. Okay, let's start in college, shall we? The big game goes to Michigan, which vaults them into the Big Ten title game against Iowa, who was a very grimy winner against Nebraska on a late field goal by a kid who'd never kicked one all year. And they will likely demolish Iowa, who cannot score to save their life. And Michigan's into the college football playoff. And I assume Harbaugh is like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. I'm back.
True. That was the deal. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And so all the hand-wringing was about him not being on the sidelines against Ohio State, which, frankly, I always thought was overrated.
It might have actually helped. Sherrone Moore might be a better in-game manager of the X's and O's than Harbaugh. That's not inconceivable.
Maybe. And I always I think that coaching, probably 90% of it is preparing your team for the game. The in-game management, there are some coaches who are really good at it, but right. I don't think it's going to necessarily make that much of a difference.
Yeah, they also had the better team, yeah. And despite the fact they didn't, quote, play anybody, they were just a better team that could move the ball and score in more enough different ways. The Buckeyes had two guys. They have two guys, 18 and 32, who are awesome. They got a game manager quarterback who can't make plays like McCarthy, and they came up one click shy. Now, that lands Ryan Day at 1-3 against Michigan in 4 years, and some idiots are out there legitimately saying, he's got to go, we got to get somebody better.
Well, here's the question, though. Next year when they go to 12 teams in the playoffs, he's going to be in. He loses that game, he's still going to be in the playoffs. Does that save his job if he loses four straight?
Right.
I don't know.
If you're going to count a subset record of, well, what's your record against our rival, Michigan? Yeah. Then which Michigan game going forward, because there could be two, there could be three in a given season, are you going to count as the most important one? Right. I assume it's the last one, which would be in the college football playoff. I had some dipshit on Twitter come at me like, oh, I thought they were still playing in late November every year. Because I said this was the last of the great Michigan-Ohio State games because it doesn't have the backstop of the Big Ten title game or the college football 12-team playoff. And that's 119 years of awesomeness. Next year is the 120th. He's like, oh, I thought they were still going to play. And I'm like, fucking pay attention. Because there's no conference divisions, right. Then they could play in back-to-back weeks next year.
Probably will.
And they could, in theory, depending on how the seeding goes, play in the opening round of the playoffs. So how special will it be if they play 3 weeks in a row? Or if they play twice in 3 out of 4 years? Is it special?
I think the playoff would go completely out of their way to avoid them playing three straight weeks. I think that with 12 teams, you could easily avoid that.
They may meet in the semis, other than meeting for the actual title.
Right.
I guess my larger point is this. Christmas, Andy, is how many times a year? Wait, once. I'm asking the Jew this.
Well, I know these things because we're in retail. We know these things.
Okay. 4th of July is how many times a year, Andy?
That'd be once.
How many times a year is Thanksgiving, Andy?
That is one day, though it's stretched out over four. But
how many times a year is daylight? Okay, that's twice. I'm just kidding. How many times a year is Michigan, Ohio State? Up until now, once. Just like everything else, great. Now we can get a bonus Christmas.
Whoa. Could have happened twice last year.
You're right. That is true. Could have happened. But still, I think it's a great rivalry, and I've got no skin in it. I've got no real lean one way or the other. I had a guy email me saying, why do you hate Michigan so much? And I'm like, God damn. Really? Nobody listens to what I say on this podcast. I went in great length to say I have nothing against them. I think they cheated. I think they got caught. I think that they're delusional in saying they didn't do what they did. But I think the penalty should be appropriate and measured in a way that makes sense. And, you know, fuck Jim Harbaugh. But I don't hate Michigan per se. It's better when they're good. And he had someone like, you just hate Michigan. Not the case at all. So I don't have a dog in the fight, but man, this rivalry is just epic. It's just epic. The size and the scope of the programs, the size of the stadiums, 110,000 people willingly left their house and got in a car, went to one spot in Michigan, of all places. Okay, sorry. Yep. That is me with a little bit of gratuitous Michigan bashing. I apologize. But yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a thing. And then, you know, Ohio State's capacity is like 90-something-ish. I don't know what their number is. Whatever. But it's massive, right? So that's what makes it special. We build up all year. I watched the whole three-minute Tom Brady-narrated hype video to lead the broadcast, and I loved it. Do you have to make three of these now? Two of these every year? How can you hype up a neutral site game between the same two teams in Indianapolis in a dome?
Right. You're right. I mean, and given that both teams are likely to be in the playoffs no matter what happens in those two games, doesn't it take away from it, doesn't it?
How many players might rest in the final game of the year in either the Big House or in Columbus at the Horseshoe in order to be ready for the one that counts more?
Right, the next one. I was wondering about that too. But it's, you know what? It's in the pros too, and we still watch it. So, yeah, it could be.
But it's not.
J.J. McCarthy is sitting out today to get ready for the playoffs. He's skipping the Michigan-Ohio State game. Yeah, we want to make sure he's healthy. Yeah.
So I was texting with my podmaster, Mr. Broussard, and he's a big Notre Dame fan because he has two kids who went to Notre Dame, one who's through, one who's still there. And you know that the only way to watch the Notre Dame game against Stanford, which they crushed, was via the Pac-12 network, which is now dark, and about seven people got it at its peak. And so to get it, he had to subscribe to Fubo TV on a one-week free trial. I was giving him shit like, are you going down to the D.C. Armory to watch the closed circuit broadcast? Remember those days, Andy?
Oh, very well. Yes, those were the days that you went to a movie theater to watch heavyweight fights. There wasn't any pay-per-view.
All right, everyone hop up onto Uncle Andy's knee and let him tell you about closed circuit broadcasts at the D.C. Armory. Go.
Well, they had them at the D.C. Armory. They also had them in big movie theaters. But, yes, you would
buy. And for those who don't live in D.C., the D.C. Armory was just what its name is. It's where they stored guns and bombs and tanks during wars, a big sort of semicircle shell that was converted once, you know, our major wars were over into sort of a entertainment venue.
I mean, they have the circus there. Occasionally they play some college basketball games there. It wasn't really like a nice arena. It was just a big space where they could put seats.
Right. And, so let's say it's 1983. And there's a big pay-per-view boxing match between the remnants of Muhammad Ali. Did he fight into the early 80s?
He fought. I think his last fight was like 81, 82.
That might have been it, as I recall. Yeah. So it might have been the remnants of Muhammad Ali against a young Larry Holmes. And it was only available on, you know, they had to get money for it. So the only way to then restrict people from seeing it is you can't put it on ABC's Wild World of Sports on Sunday. You got to put it on closed circuit. And you would go down to a place like the Armory, pay money, and go sit there and watch the match with other people.
Right. Well, but they would show it to you the following Saturday on Wild World of Sports. So you would get an opportunity to see it. But to see it live, yes, you had to go to a movie theater and see it. As a matter of fact, the No Mas fight between Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran.
Oh, yeah.
I was in San Antonio at the time. And I know my program director went to a pay-per-view viewing of it. And they said when he put up his hands and said No Mas, people started throwing chairs. It got wild in there. So, yeah.
Exactly. A little combative at times on these things.
Yeah.
So he's a big Notre Dame fan. And I said, what happened in the Notre Dame game? Because I didn't see the final score. And he's like, yeah, they crushed him. He said, but you know what? A bunch of guys are going to be sitting out anyway, this bowl. I said, so you're going bowling? He's like, yeah, but a lot of the players are going to sit out because they're turning pro and whatnot. And I go, yes, the bowl season, where teams eagerly lose money to travel to games that don't matter, where the players now won't even play for TV ratings that can barely be measured. The bowl season, Andy.
But you know what? With what you described, you would think that some of these bowls would disappear. They just keep multiplying. There are 41 bowls.
Exactly.
82 teams. How is this possible?
I know. And because they did not have enough teams with the minimum of 6 wins, it took 5-7 Minnesota on an academic exemption after Hawaii beat Colorado State at damn near 1 a.m. on the East Coast on the most incredible walk-off kickoff or walk-off field goal I think the weekend saw. And there was a bunch of them, bunch of great field goals. Did you see what happened in that game?
I did not.
Okay.
I saw. Okay.
All right, go ahead. All right, so let me tell you what happened. This is better than the Marshall Meter win for Nebraska. It was his first attempt of the year. It was even better than the Grady Gross field goal that he made for Washington as they stunned Wazoo for the Apple Cup after a trick play on fourth down.
Saw that.
Grady Gross, by the way, got the game ball and a scholarship in the locker room afterwards from the coach, which is pretty cool. Matt Shipley is this kid's name, and he ran onto the field because they forgot to spike the ball or didn't know how to do it. Here's what it sounded like in the wee early hours.
Wind's coming from the Diamond Head side of the field. Shager back to throw.
12 seconds left.
Sideline. It's caught and out of bounds. Goes Chucky Hines.
Inbounds.
What a throw. What a catch. Great comeback route by 84. They're going to spot this ball. And here comes the field goal team. They got to get 11. They got to get set. Clock's going to run.
Oh, the clock is running. They have to clock the ball or snap it. Matt Shipley. The kick is up, and it is good!
Oh,
52 yards!
You got to see it, Andy, because Shipley, the kicker, he's jogging on the field like, okay, we got time, everything is fine. Right. And then he realizes, oh, shit, the clock is running, so he starts into a dead sprint. And it was almost the closest you could get to him not even breaking stride and running onto the field and kicking the game winner. Of course, that would have been a motion penalty, so he did get set for the shortest of moments, and they got it off literally before it hit zeros. Amazing nice. Finish. And because of that, Colorado State is out, and 5-7 Minnesota is in. But you're right, back to the bowl thing. So 82 teams in 41 bowls. The vast majority of them, I'd say easily everything beyond the top 10 bowls, are money losers for universities, right?
I guess, but why do they want to get in them?
It's the darndest thing for pride, reputation, and that stupid little trophy from the Duke's Mayo Bowl that they're going to put in their trophy case and tell recruits, you know, we did go a bowl game last year and we did win. We beat a Power 5 school in a bowl game. You know, hey, look at this here, Duke's Mayo trophy right here. They make these schools, as you know, from when Maryland used to go to bowls, and they're going this year again, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Good season for Maryland.
It sounds like they're going to play USC in Vegas. That's not bad.
Let's go! Okay, so they make the schools buy huge blocks of tickets, 15,000 tickets. The bowl organizers say, well, you're on the hook for these tickets, full price. And the schools and their ADs go, really? And they're like, yeah, no, this is the deal. Okay, and then the school turns around and browbeats the boosters, of which you were one with young Jeremy.
When I was not a booster. I was a ticket buyer. A ticket buyer for a game, not a booster.
Didn't you say you were part of the Straw Hat Brigade?
No. I described the Straw Hat Brigade as those who are boosters.
Oh, got it.
Who do contribute. No, I didn't go to Maryland. We wanted to go see a good bowl game. That's it.
But you went, so you bought a ticket.
Yeah,
so the schools turn around and they try to sell tickets and packages. Come here, go there. Look at all there is to do in New Orleans, Nashville, Florida, blah, blah, blah. And inevitably they eat a bunch of tickets. And these bowls, these lower bowls, are never filled. And yes, they're on TV, but ESPN owns what? Something like 38 of the 41 bowls total.
It's the Yule log.
Get put on TV.
You turn on the TV at Christmas time, there's the bowl game on. Yeah. You know, I guess it works out for ESPN because they haven't stopped televising these, have they?
No. But the whole economics of the sport are, I think, about to fly apart at the seams because it's not sustainable. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At MyBookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Couple of stories here. One. Indiana is buying out their coach at $20 million.
But did you read the details on that?
Okay, go ahead and give me the details on this.
Yeah, I have some familiarity with Indiana.
That's right, because you're right. Tom Allen, who I like, and I think he's a good coach, but Indiana spends about as much on football as you do on a gym membership. So they don't. I said so they don't want to spend a lot on it. That's fine. Okay.
No, it's a basketball school.
It is a basketball school.
Here's the deal. He had a good year during the pandemic year. For whatever reason, things worked for them there. Maybe they didn't have guys sit out or whatever it was.
I think they had Michael Penix Jr. that year.
They did. They did, but he was hurt all the time.
That helps.
he was there like 4 years and played, you know, like 10 games because he was hurt all the time.
Right.
But anyway, here's the deal. Yes, it's a $20 million buyout. If they had waited until the first of the year, it would have been an $8 million buyout. For 5 weeks, they're paying an extra $12 million to get them out of there so they can get a jump on hiring somebody else. And who are they going to get? It's Indiana football. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And they say they're going to lean into their nil collective to try to get people to pony up so they can spend on players in the portal, which opens in a week and has coaches from coast to coast shitting their pants right now.
It's an amazing amount of money, but it also shows you how much the players were getting screwed all these years. If there's this much money to just piss away, these players, man, oh God. I mean, this is decades and decades of abuse.
Well, I don't abuse.
Yeah, abuse. Because,
wow.
Look at
Andy going full communist, everybody. Do tell. I'm all ears. Go ahead, Andy. Okay. Tell me how they've been abused, these kids.
It's more noticeable in football because football is a book about 50 years ago, maybe more, by a Texas player called Meat on the Hoof, where you don't even know about the guys who don't make it to the field. They're just bringing them in cattle cars, and some of them get hurt. Some of them disappear. Some of them aren't good enough to play at that level. And they didn't get any money. And even the star players, you know, over the table didn't get anything. And here now we see coaches being bought out for $77 million and nobody blinks. Yeah, okay, cost of doing business. Let's move on. You know, so that tells you how much money was available and none of it went to the players.
Okay, but did they get abused?
No, I think it's abusive if the if some people are really, really getting rich off their backs and they're not getting a dime, and they wind up with knee injuries and back injuries and things like that that they carry the rest of their lives for playing for the good old alma mater.
What did they get for playing college football back in your day?
They got a scholarship. They got a scholarship. And they could get a bagel, but they couldn't get cream cheese because that was an extra benefit.
What would a scholarship run typically per year at an elite academic institution?
Back in the 70s?
How about in the 90s or in the 2000s probably. Or in the 2010s? Before all of this came into play, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000?
A year? Yeah. About 40, probably.
Sign me up for that abuse. Were any players conscripted against their will into playing tackle football, collegiate style, in this abuse you claim?
Okay. But once again, the NCAA was crying poverty on all. We can't pay. Oh, if we have to pay the players, we're going to shut down. We got coaches saying, once we start paying the players, I'm out. And then they sign contracts that pay them each $15 million a year. I mean, come on. It was a big scam.
The
Supreme Court finally said, you're running slavery there.
Oh. Slavery?
Yeah, that's what they were told. Yeah.
Do you believe that?
It was. Yes, it was.
Slavery.
Based on how much money was available and paid to the coaches and the academics and the athletic directors, and the players got nothing. They had a good system working, and they were able to keep it going.
They didn't get nothing.
They got a scholarship. Okay.
They got $200,000 worth of high-level education.
Here's how the high-level education works. Okay. Sir, I'd like to be a biology major. Yeah, we have labs in the afternoon. Oh, no, no. You can't go to labs because you're going to have to go to football practice. You're here to play football. You're not here to be a biology student. So come on.
So you're saying they went the other direction than making accommodations for athletes, which is my experience having watched and observed and commented on the sport. Because you're painting a picture that is completely opposite of what I know to be true, which is they would not only accommodate your schedule if Johnny wanted to be a biology major, by golly, we'd make arrangements. And if he was too dumb to understand biology, we'd have a smart girl take his tests for him. That's how it worked, not the other way around.
Right, take his tests for him. That's a great education.
No, but my point is, okay, so you admit then that they did this voluntarily. You admit they got something of extremely high value, $200,000 plus of scholarship. Last question, was there ever a danger in this abusive scheme of the NCAA running out of volunteers that wanted this abuse?
Okay, was there ever a danger that they weren't going to take ships from Africa
and load them
up with black people and bring them over to work on the plantation? Were they going to run out of those? No, they weren't, because they could just keep sending ships over.
Come on, man. You're trolling me now, right?
No, seriously. You're going to say
so you don't see any difference.
You're going to say it was a great fair system when a coach is making $10 million a year, the athletic director's making $5 million, and the players are getting nothing? Really?
It was a system that was working for everybody.
Sure, and it was working. Slavery. The cotton was getting picked, and the plantation owners didn't have to pay the slaves. It was great.
Okay.
Everything worked great.
Was there one part of slavery that didn't exist in the college amateurism model? Just one thing that you can think of?
Of course.
Oh, the compulsory nature of it.
But the fact that
you were put in chains and you were property that you were not allowed to leave the system. You could leave playing college football anytime you wanted.
You work in radio. So you work for a radio station and the owner is driving a Rolls Royce.
Yes.
And the money's coming in and they say to you, sorry, we can only pay you $10,000 a year. We don't have any money.
Andy. You've heard that speech like I have. It's called business.
And some people were able to make money.
Well, that's when
Howard Stern works 3 days a week and he makes $100 million a year. they're able to do that. In college, the system set up, nobody makes money. You can, if we start paying the players, forget it. We have to shut the thing down. It's not going to work. Coaches say, oh, the day the players get paid, I'm out. Dabo Sweeney, sign me up, $100 million. Please, give me the money.
So here's what's happening right now. So there's a lot of money coming in from outside sources, people being asked, can you pony up? We need to boost up our nil collective. And these teams are buying players at market rates, as you are talking about, from other programs. What's going to happen in 5 or 10 years in which they realize we're just buying each other's players?
Exactly, which and is why they have to have an NFL system. They have to have a system where the players get salaries. And they sign contracts, by the way. You sign a contract. You can't just the transfer, open transfer thing, that can't last.
Okay, so then the portal has to be closed, and they have to allow trades of college players, right?
That's going to be interesting. Okay. That is.
How about a high school draft?
Okay, but again, that ends the hypocrisy about the academics, because then college football is what it is. It's professional sports.
I liken this to a dog chasing its tail, and the dog is going to very quickly here, because when Indiana is flushing this much money to try to get a new coach, when they're not spending nearly enough money on the actual players, facility, or program with assistant coaches and everything else, or making it a priority within the athletic department, it's a dog that's going to spin around in circles and then fall to the ground and puke over itself because it's not sustainable. Here's another example. Did you see what NC State and their head coach said this week?
I did not.
NC State's head coach said, yeah, we need 5,000 individuals to pony up a grand to help bolster our nil fund. Hey, the holidays are here. The economy sucks. Times are tight. Inflation's running rampant. But do you have a grand for NC State football? Dave Doran has asked fans to donate. Fans, not even businessmen, not even anyone who's going to get a wide receiver to show up at your car dealership to sign autographs, which is the point of NIL. Just here, you pay money so we can field a slightly better team. 5,000 fans to donate to the Savage Wolves NIL.
Okay, what happens if there are, say, 30 teams at the level of Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia?
Okay? There aren't, and there will never be.
Okay, let's say there's 20 of them, and the rest of them play Division III. You know, no scholarships, and I think that's where we may be headed
right now. It's on its way. It's on its way to falling apart entirely, and something new will come up in its place. Right. And I hope as many of the traditions and grandeur of the old style of college football remain, but I am fearful that many of them will simply not survive. Right. We're not there yet. We're barely in the first quarter of this great disintegration, but it's upon us. Even Stuart Mandel of SI.com, you know Stuart, right? Actually works for The Athletic now. You respect Stuart's work, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. He says Dave Doran makes $5 million and he's begging fans to donate their entire paycheck for the week to a nil collective. The model is so, so broken.
Right.
Agree?
Things change. Look, at one time, the University of Chicago was a football powerhouse. They dropped the sport. So, and I could see a school like NC State, which has always been a basketball school, having a Division I basketball program, and the football is, Division III.
Google, everybody, brick or cinder block in a washing machine. And it's a fascinating video. You're going to laugh like, what? Someone set up a washing machine on spin cycle, where it goes around really fast, spins. And they put it outside and they put a huge brick or a cinder block in it and turn it on spin cycle. And pretty quickly the machine starts getting out of balance, right? You know how that is with the load. So it starts to wobble, right? Well, it just keeps going and going and going, and it disintegrates. But it takes a long time, longer than you would think. It keeps spinning as sides of the washing machine are flying off, and it's shaking violently. And you're like, holy shit, this thing is still doing it. That's the dynamic in play right now in college football. We're still in the early part of the washing machine disintegrating, but it will disintegrate at the end of the day because this is a completely fucked up model. And the old model may not have been as fair to the players as you say. It certainly wasn't slavery, but the new model is bound to fail.
Yeah, and what's well happening, and I was in Dallas during the heyday of the Southwest Conference cheating that was going on. And what happened to kill it, because it was running well for a while. Everybody was getting the $50 handshakes and the free cars and all that stuff. And then they started turning each other in. And that's what's starting to happen here with what's happening with Harbaugh. That's the tip of the iceberg. Other schools are going to find things on other schools. And that's when things start to unravel.
Yeah. Last thing. So Alabama stuns Auburn on the 10th anniversary of the Kick Six game. It's the testament to the power of rivalry games that Auburn lost to a pay-per-view opponent the week before. I forget who it was, but they completely sucked.
It was New Mexico. It's the same school that the coach the year before had brought in, and they beat them there too.
Right. So they lost to New Mexico the week before, paid for the privilege of doing so, and then they go toe-to-toe with Alabama, the power of rivalry games to be more compelling and closer than anyone could think, but also a testament to the idiocy of coaches because Hugh Freeze on that final play on fourth and goal from the 31 said, let's just rush three guys. In fact, nah, we're going to rush two and have a third guy be a spy. Which made no sense, given that Jalen Milroe would have had to run through eight other dudes to get to the goal line. What is he doing?
When you see a guy back there, like he's counting one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, that's not football. And sooner or later, with all those weapons he's got, one of them's going to get open. And sure enough, he did. I thought that was complete insanity, rushing two. And they called a timeout, too. They were about to rush three. And there was a timeout, and they thought about it. Ooh, yeah, three might be too much. Let's rush two.
I would never rush less than five on any end of game play, ever. I'd say, I got five rushing. I got six to cover. They can handle it. If they can't, shame on us. Because the fallacy in thinking is, well, we got nine guys in the end zone. We got eight guys in the end zone. Surely someone can knock the ball down. It's not doesn't work that way. All the ball has to do is to find a sliver to beat one guy, which is what this was, and you're dead.
Yeah, and then he had the chutzpah to say, oh, we practiced that.
Right.
Nick Saban,
All right, Andy, did you get your blender sunglasses ordered in time for the holidays from Deion Sanders? Don't hear much about that as the Deion hype train has come to an end. He's losing commits as well. Antoine Hill, this five-star, decommitted from Colorado. So started out great, ended not so great.
Late September, Deion God, Sean Payton a boob. Late November, Sean Payton five in a row, and he's got his team on track. And Deion, well, you can make up your own mind.
All right, Andy. Was you good Thanksgiving?
Oh, I did, yes. Beautiful. Very good. Except for the Commanders. That kind of put a dent in it. But that was all.
Let's wait on the Commander stuff. They fired Del Rio, which is stupid. All it did was give Del Rio the holidays off to be with his family. And you may not like Del Rio, and that's fine, but big fucking deal. Rivera's going. He's a complete stooge. It's a complete disaster. They're so bad in so many ways. So the whole kit and caboodle is going, and it was a terrible Turkey Day game against the Cowboys, but what you going to do on that? I went to the store on Thanksgiving morning with one specific order for my wife. Get a pumpkin pie, because apparently she did not have time to make a fresh pumpkin. I said, okay, fine, I'm on it. I get to the pie section, and I realize, ooh, look at this Thanksgiving cake. I think I wouldn't mind that myself. I come home with the cake, and she looks at me with raised eyebrows like, really? And I go, it looked good. Guess who ate all the cake before the weekend was out? He's got two thumbs, is ruggedly handsome, and is sitting right here in front of this mic, Andy.
Oh, really?
This guy!
I'm sure you needed that.
took 4 days to eat it. I mean, I nibbled at it, you know, but before you know it, you're like, it was a smallish cake. Nom, nom, nom.
Smallish for six.
All right, diet starts tomorrow. All right, Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
I said, take care. And I know it's going to be.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.